Hi there, Rachel here. We have an episode to share with you today from another podcast we think you might like, called The Secret Life of Canada. It's a podcast about the country you know and the stories you don't. Hosts Leah and Phelan aren't historians. They're just two curious people with a passion for little-known stories and underrated people. Kind of like us here at Don't Drink the Milk. Together, these guys bring humour and a healthy scepticism to Canada's founding narratives. In this episode, Leah and Phelan explore how Canada was both the last stop on the Underground Railroad and the destination for Southern Confederate leaders and supporters to strategize, stash money, and come up with plots against Abraham Lincoln. So, let's listen in.
So, if you're not following us, why is that? Come on, people. It's free. It's a low-stress kindness you can do for yourself and us. Get your history on. Hit subscribe, follow, and like where you listen. Okay, let's start the show. It's 1865, and the American Civil War is over. The Northern Union Army won over the Confederate South. The Southern states would no longer be able to enslave Black people, and Jefferson Davis, the leader of the Confederacy, is captured and imprisoned for over 2 years at Fort Monroe in Virginia. By the time he's released, he and his family have lost their land, money, status, and most of all, the free labor. So he needs a new plan. He needs to find the one place that would embrace him, his family, and their Southern Confederate values. And so he heads to Montreal, Quebec.
This is The Secret Life of Canada, a podcast about the country you know and the stories you don't.
Hey, Phelan.
Hey, Leah. So, the Civil War.
I know. I'm not going to make you join a Civil War reenactment club. There will be no costumes in this one. But
okay. I mean, that's good because muskets are expensive, although I do think I would look fetching with mutton chops.
I agree. That's something to explore for sure.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to look into this particular story because it's very wild.
History is complex. Because it's so multi-layered. It's never one thing. It's never one answer.
This is Dr. Afua Cooper. She's a historian, former poet laureate of Halifax, and author of the very good book, The Hanging of Angelique, The Untold Story of Slavery in Canada and the Burning of Old Montreal.
So we're thinking of Canada as this haven, the North Star, the refuge for Black people from the United States. That's one piece of the story. The other piece of the story is around the same time you had Canada as a refuge to Confederate spies, Confederate gentlemen and ladies and their families. And in a more ominous way, I mean, Lincoln was assassinated. Lincoln was murdered, the president of the United States, and the plot to murder him was hatched in Montreal, Canada. I mean, it sounds like a movie, but it's real. It's true.
It does sound like a movie. Okay, so the plot to assassinate Abraham Lincoln happened in Montreal?
Weirdly, yes, it did.
Okay, I need to know more about this. I mean, like, how did this happen? The Civil War is an American story, and I kind of don't understand how Canada factored into it.
Well, it's complicated, just like the Civil War itself.
Yeah, and we don't have time to go into too much depth here, but could you explain it to us? Like, I feel like I need a primer to understand all of this. Do you think you can explain the Civil War in under 1 minute? We haven't done this in a while. We used to do this all
yeah,
the time, I feel like.
This.
So let's
okay.
See if we still have the skill.
Okay, let me see if I still got it. Okay, you got the timer?
Okay, let me, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
And go.
The American Civil War was a battle between all of the states. It happened over 4 years from 1861 to 1865. The fight boiled down to a war between the Northern U.S. government and 11 Southern states that wanted to leave the Union. Most people describe it as a battle between North and South. What were they fighting over? Slavery. 10 years before the war started in the 1850s, the movement to end slavery was growing stronger. When Abraham Lincoln, who was against slavery, was elected president in 1860, swallowing, the southern states decided to leave the Union to try and keep their right to own enslaved black people. They formed the Confederate States of America with a guy named Jefferson Davis as their leader. But the northern states, led by the legitimately elected Lincoln, had a bigger population. They had more factories and railroads than the South. A lot of battles happened over the 4 years. And in the middle of it all, President Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, which stated that all persons held as slaves are henceforth shall be free. Eventually, the war ended in 1865 when the top general of the Confederacy, the bad guy, surrendered. It's estimated about 2% of the entire U.S. population died during the war. The South was left in ruins. The Union was saved, and slavery ended. But guess what? White supremacy and Southern sentiments didn't just dissolve away that easily. And 5 days after the war ended, Lincoln was assassinated while watching a play. Too bad for theater. His murderer, an actor named John Wilkes Booth, shot him at close range in the head. It ended the life of a man that many credit as being one of the greatest American presidents of all time.
Okay, that was 1 minute and 30 seconds. Okay. But I'm going to say that was really good. That was
Thank you.
Just want to say, listeners, that was one take.
That was one. I did it in one.
That was one take.
Thank you. See, and this is why theater is important. Yes, you can get murdered in a theater, but if you have theater training and breath control, you can also summarize things very quickly. Yeah.
This episode sponsored by Theater School. Okay. So out of all of this, the South is bad, the North is good, and now... let's hear how Canada ended up being a great place for Southerners.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. We got to go about 10 years before the Civil War took place.
The year 1850 is critical. As I've said, in the United States Congress in 1850, they passed the Fugitive Slave Act. And what that meant was the American Congress empowered slaveholders to track down their runaway slaves wherever they were. If they were in New York, Philadelphia, Boston, track them down, get them arrested by federal marshals, and return them to slavery. This was a new game. Thousands of people who had escaped slavery previously and who were living in the state, in the northern states and Midwest, now had to go farther north. They had to come into Canada.
So this was a turning point in both the U.S. and Canada. It made Canada the only place African Americans could come to ensure their safety. And it also meant that previously safe states carried the constant danger of recapture. Or hell, not even recapture. You could just be captured if you were free. Random bounty hunters were taking free black people to the South and selling them into slavery.
Yeah, and I assume this law also increased the tension between the states.
Oh, yeah, it did. And then cut to 10 years later, Lincoln wins the presidency, and he goes from being kind of lukewarm on slavery, to be honest, to full out anti-slavery, which you think would have been applauded here, but it wasn't the case. I reached out to Julian Scher. He's an award-winning investigative journalist and the author of The North Star, Canada and the Civil War Plots Against Lincoln. It's an amazing book. I highly recommend reading it if you want to know more about this subject. And I just needed to know more about Canadians' response to Lincoln, and he told me all about it.
Obviously, in the 1860s, there was no radio, no internet, no television. The only way people got information was by the newspapers. The newspapers back then were much more ideological. They were owned in Canada by rich businessmen, of course, who were almost always tied to political parties, didn't hide their political allegiances. And what's remarkable, except for the Globe, which was run by George Brown, who was a staunch abolitionist, and one newspaper in Montreal, almost all the newspapers denounced Lincoln consistently. The Emancipation Proclamation comes out, right? 1863, the freeing of the slaves. If you and I were sitting in Montreal reading the Gazette, the Montreal Gazette, they denounced that proclamation. I'll quote it. They said the proclamation will be little more than an indecent exposure of Lincoln's rage and fiendishness. An Ontario newspaper, the Niagara Review, called Lincoln a mad, blood-stained despot in Washington. If you were growing up in Canada at the time, that's what you would have believed, because that was the newspapers you read.
Okay, so I'm kind of surprised by this. Why were all these Canadian newspapers hating on Lincoln so hard?
I had the same question.
Because when the Civil War breaks out, it's 1861. And Abraham Lincoln, and I think many people in the North, expected, given the fact that slavery had been abolished in Canada, expected that Canada would side with the North. What happened, though, is that the British Empire and England, and therefore all its colonies, declared neutrality. Canada said, we're not going to pick a side between the democratically elected government of Abraham Lincoln and a secessionist, illegal, slaveholding rebellion. So what that meant is Canada became a haven, quite a legal haven. So the Confederates, soldiers, terrorists, bomb makers, raiders, and money men came to Montreal, Toronto, Hamilton, and St. Catharines and could operate quite openly. They gave interviews and speeches, and they were seen as heroes in the newspapers because Canada was neutral.
Oh, well, isn't that a great choice for Canada? Let's be neutral about slavery.
Well, you know, not everyone was neutral, obviously. We had a huge abolitionist movement here. There were already thousands of Black people in the country, so it wasn't so clear-cut. But more on that after the break. The Civil War started in 1861. It's over by 1865. Canada would be born 2 years after that, in 1867. But the meetings and the efforts to build the Confederation started in the middle of the American Civil War. So in many ways, you know, Canada was born in the Civil War, and in many ways, with so many of the elite Canadian class supporting the South, we had blood on our hands.
Canada was a divided country from the beginning, where some people supported Lincoln and many elites supported the slave South. But tens of thousands of ordinary Canadians, especially, of course, Black Canadians in southern Ontario, decide to sign up in the Union Army. It's estimated 30,000, maybe 50,000 Canadians fought, largely on the Union side. 5,000 to 7,000 died.
But I'm wondering why Canadians would fight in the American Civil War, and especially Black Canadians. Like, why, if you had escaped slavery, would you want to go back and fight?
Yeah, Dr. Cooper explained to me that many Black people here felt a sense of duty because many of them still had family in America, and they wanted to do their part to end the enslavement for everyone else.
They had this desire, I have to go back and play my role. I have to go back and fight in this war of liberation. It was not about emancipation only. It was a war of liberation. I have to do my part. I have to slay the many-headed monster that is slavery. So it was an honor for them. They wanted to bring about emancipation and liberation for their brethren. And we know at least 3,000 Blacks from the Canadian provinces went to fight for the Union Army.
So as some people here go to fight in the war there and try to support the continuing liberation of people in enslavement, some Confederate elites begin to make their way up here, up to Canada.
Okay, and other than neutrality of Canada, why were Confederate soldiers and Southerners coming up to Canada? Why were they coming here?
You have to understand also the viciousness of the war in the South, right? Cities were being burned, life was miserable. So for the rich aristocrats, it was much nicer to hang out in the fancy hotels of Toronto and Montreal. And as hostilities grow, you start seeing terror actions that originate from Canada.
Julian told me that many Confederates, obviously from the South, settled in Toronto and in St. Catharines and in Niagara. He said that the New York Times actually printed an article about, quote, a pleasant little Confederate society that has grown up all along the Niagara River. Doesn't it sound just magical?
That's a nice clip from the tourism board.
Which, by the way, you can still see the mansions and homes that Confederate generals and politicians built and lived in the Niagara district, if you really search for them. Wow. But there were also Confederates in the Maritimes, many who were well supported there. But, you know, Toronto and Montreal, those were the main hotspots.
Canada had two main cities, Toronto and Montreal, and they were comparable to New York or Chicago. And the Queen's Hotel in Toronto on Front Street became an important nest of Confederate spies. It's where Jacob Thompson, the leader of the Confederate spy service, took over a whole bunch of suites. But Montreal, which was even closer to New York, it was just a few hours of a train ride. And then from New York, you could make your way to the south. Montreal became an important nexus. The Confederates would have felt immensely at home in Montreal. The St. Lawrence Hall was in Old Montreal. People who know Montreal, it's right near the Notre Dame Basilica, that beautiful square in downtown Montreal. St. Lawrence Hall was one of the most luxurious hotels in the 19th century, kind of like the Ritz-Carlton. It advertised, you know, hot and cold baths, and it had a salon and an orchestra. More importantly, it had telegraphs. Machine so Americans could get the latest news. And the owner, a man named Henry Hogan, openly boasted. He said, "My hotel became a headquarters for the Confederate junta."
The headquarters for the Confederates. Yeah, that's another great ad. Yeah, I never want to stay at that hotel.
I know.
Okay, so how did the Black people in those areas feel about it? Or did they even know? Like, how overt were the Confederates in these places?
Many slave owners from the South brought their slaves with them into places. They stayed in the best hotels in Toronto and Montreal. Everybody knew who they were. Toronto, Montreal, St. Catharines, for example, were crawling with Confederate spies and sympathizers. And they were not hiding. So the Black community knew this. In fact, in the resort towns of, say, St. Catharines, Black people who were working at these spas as waiters, as barbers, as cooks, as coachmen. So they knew what was going on.
Okay, so Black people knew Confederate spies were all over. What about John Wilkes Booth, Lincoln's murderer? Like, what was he doing up there?
Well, Julian, explain that to me.
So it's the fall of 1864. John Wilkes Booth has often been called, and don't laugh, the Brad Pitt of North America, right? This guy was one of the most famous actors, young, handsome. Everybody knew who he was. And his sympathies were openly pro-South. He had said things like, "This country was made for the white man and the white man only." He hated Lincoln and any notion of the liberation of slaves. By 1864, things are looking dark. He begins to have a plot to kidnap Lincoln. He wants to kidnap Lincoln with some of his cohorts. He starts meeting them. And the idea is that if he can kidnap Lincoln, he would force the North to surrender more prisoners, free a lot of the Confederate prisoners, and negotiate so that the South would be able to survive. And he comes to Montreal in October 1864. And one night, just before he leaves, John Wilkes Booth walks in a little inebriated, and he plays pool, billiards, with the Quebec billiards champion, a man named Joseph Dion. And as the conversation and the night drags on, he makes some remarkable statements, which after Lincoln's assassination, Joseph Dion makes public. And let me quote the exact words John Wilkes Booth says. He's playing pool in Montreal, having gotten money there, having gotten some support. And he said, "It made damn little difference, head or tail. Abe's contract was nearly up. Whether reelected or not, he would get his goose cooked."
John Wilkes Booth would leave Montreal and a year later assassinate President Lincoln. He showed up at a play, and while Lincoln was sitting in the balcony box seats with his wife, Booth shot him at close range in the back of the head and then jumped over the balcony onto the stage and ran off.
He dashes off in the night, and he uses a letter he got in Montreal from agents there to find Confederate agents who could help him in his escape. 12 days later, through this manhunt, he is tracked down, in part thanks to this Canadian man. Edward Doherty had joined the Union Army, rises in the ranks, and after the assassination, he's tasked with leading the military regiment that will hunt Booth.
And did Edward Doherty find John Wilkes Booth?
Oh yeah, he found him, and Booth was killed on the spot.
And so imagine you have this Montreal man, Edward Doherty, on the side of the Union Army, who is there witnessing Booth's death. And on Booth's clothing, they find that bank draft signed by the former mayor and bank president from Montreal.
That's a lot of Canadian involvement in something that, frankly, we have no business dealing with this. No.
I know. Why were we involved? It's wild. And finding John Wilkes Booth was a huge undertaking. But he didn't plan and execute Lincoln's murder alone. He had a lot of co-conspirators, and one of his besties fled to Montreal.
So after Lincoln's assassination, one of Booth's accomplices, his close friend, John Surratt, flees to Montreal. He originally is at the St. Lawrence Hall, knowing that that's not a good place now because everybody knows it's a Confederate den. Confederate agents reach out to the Catholic Church openly and say, could you help us hide John Surratt, who is now the most wanted man in North America? Booth is on the run and will be captured and killed, but not John Surratt, his close friend and the man who was going to help him kidnap Lincoln. John Surratt didn't partake in the assassination, but it was a key part of the plots against Lincoln. What does the Catholic Church do? They get a parish priest to hide Surratt in a small town outside of Quebec. And then the Catholic Church in Quebec will write a recommendation letter and help John Surratt get enlisted in the Pope's private army in Rome, called the Zouaves. So this accomplice makes it to Italy, where eventually he'll be found out, captured, brought back to trial, and acquitted. But again, you know, in the role of history, where does the Quebec Catholic Church and the English Catholic Church stand? You know, not on the side of the enslaved people, but on the side of the accused accomplices of Lincoln's assassin.
Surprise! The Catholic Church in the 1800s wasn't great.
I know. I'm like, if everyone could see my face through that tape, I'm like, Okay. So they really wanted to remain on the bad side of things, didn't they? Like, you know, doctrine of discovery, check. Residential schools, check. You know, siding with Confederates, also check.
I know. It's grim. But it's the truth. And much like the rest of the story, you know, two things can be true. This was the destination at the end of the Underground Railroad and meant freedom for people escaping chattel slavery. And this was the destination for many elite Confederates to hide out and spy and plot to assassinate Abraham Lincoln.
Right. But how did so many of us end up not hearing about this side of the story? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Cooper did talk about how omitting this side of things played very nicely into the myth-making that is Canada.
Right after this American Civil War ended, 1867 was Confederation. With Confederation came this idea about how are we going to build our nation? What are the stories are we going to tell? What are the myths we're going to create? It's almost like they hijacked this story, this discourse, this narrative of the Underground Railroad and politicized it. We were the good guys. The Americans were the bad guys. We freed the slaves. We gave them refuge. The Americans held them there in bondage until they had a bloody civil war. And that just shows how barbaric they were. So it was part of the myth-making with respect to Canadian identity.
I think this story about the Civil War makes us uncomfortable because we have to realize that you know, we're not as pure and as good as we thought we were. And most importantly, there was a debate during the Civil War. There was a choice. There were anti-abolitionist societies. There were huge rallies against slavery. People knew what was right and what was wrong, and people made a choice. I think our history books tend to dampen or muzzle these complexities and the debates and try to present a very singular notion of our history. President Lincoln said at one point, history is not history if it's not the truth. And I think those are words we have to live by.
This episode of The Secret Life of Canada was written and produced by me, Leah Simone Bowen.
And me, Phelan Johnson, with sound design and editing by Graham McDonald.
Script editing is by Yvette Nolan, with research assistance by Andrea Eidinger and CBC Archives. Our logo is by Badawogan Illustration and Design.
For CBC Podcast, the coordinating producer is Roshni Nair. Kate Evans is the senior producer, and the executive producer is Cecil Fernandez. The director of CBC Podcasts is RF Narani.
You can find us on our socials at The Secret Life of Canada. Show notes and links for this episode are on our website at cbc.ca/secretlife. Remember, subscribe, follow the show. We're now on YouTube. Go listen to us there. You can share your thoughts on our Spotify feed as well, or reach out to us by email at secretlifeofcanada@cbc.ca.
Thanks for exploring Canada's hidden history with us.
This episode was brought to you by the CBC's The Secret Life of Canada. You can listen to more episodes right now. Just search for The Secret Life of Canada wherever you get your podcasts. And I'll see you in 2 weeks for another juicy episode of Don't Drink the Milk.